Blog Talk Radio.
God, everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And good morning and welcome to the Apostle Speaks. My name is Evangelist Hilda. I am the co-pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries, and we are a church beyond walls. Today we have our very own Apostle Mother Wiggins. She is the elder of the House of Manessa Christian Ministries. She brings a word from God every Saturday morning at 10:15 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So first, we would like to thank you for tuning in to the Apostle Speaks. Praise be to God. Our devotional message for this morning is entitled, Never Take for Granted. Amen. And the scripture readings is coming from Psalms 145:18 in the New King James Version. And it says, the Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. Amen. Luke 12:7 says, indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Praise be to God. John 1:12 says, yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Praise be to God. And Romans 10:13 says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and doing of his mighty word. Amen. Praise God. So it said, never take for granted by intimate nearness. Marvel at the wonder of my continual presence with you. Even the most ardent human lover cannot be with you always, nor can another person know the intimacies of your heart, mind, and spirit. I know everything about you, even the number of hairs on your head. You don't need to work at revealing yourself to me. Many people spend a lifetime or a small fortune searching for someone who understands them. Yet I am freely available to all who call upon my name, who open their hearts to receive me as Savior. This simple act of faith, the beginning of a lifelong love story. I, the lover of your soul, understands you perfectly and love you eternally. I pray that this devotional message is a blessing to you as it is to me. Let us pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision, and I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all 9 of his gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I'd like to invite the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary. We never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. The Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. By Francesca.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is
Amen. Praise be to God. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Praise God. So at this time, while we're waiting on our speaker for this morning, I will say good morning to Father God. Amen. Praise be to God. By the Wiki Tones.
My eyes are wide awake.
Amen. Praise be to God. For the Bible says in Romans 10:14-15, in the New King James Version, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who brings glad tidings of good things. At this time, our very own Apostle Mother Wiggins is going to come and bless our hearts this morning with a mighty word from God. So we are going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. God bless you, Apostle Mother Wiggins. How are you this morning?
I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you this morning, Evangelist Hilda?
I'm blessed. Thank you. To God be the glory.
Amen. Praise God. We're having communion today, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Amen.
Looking forward to that every month.
I'm telling you, looking forward to that.
Yeah.
What Christ died on the cross, you know, what he did on the cross. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
We're just so grateful, you know, in remembrance, to do this in remembrance of him. Amen.
Praise
God. We're
going
to be looking forward to that today.
Yeah.
Amen. Praise God. So how you been, Evangelist Hilda?
I've been in a lot of pain this week. I don't know what's going on in the body, but, you know, the body just weeping every day of pain. And I'm just pressing through and thanking God for every day that he wakes me up. I won't complain.
Amen.
I just
praise God
that his will
be
done.
So we're going to keep you in prayer on that, Evangelist
Amen.
Hilda.
Amen.
Keep
and
you in prayer.
Thank you. Sister Barbara won't be with us this morning. She's at a funeral service.
Oh, all right. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So I just want to turn and say good morning to our radio listeners out there. We are so glad to have you on board.
Yes.
Amen. And we hope that all is well with you and your family. We just want to let you know that our pastor, our visionary, and his lovely wife, they send you their greetings. Our pastor, Apostle Wiggins, and his vision, and his lovely wife, they send you their greetings this morning. Just want to let you know how much they care about you and how much I know that they are praying for you, and that they love you. And they hope that all is well with you and your family, and are happy that God has steered you in this direction of the HMC Ministries. Amen. To hear the word and to be fed and to listen to different things that might go on to help your life. Amen. Praise
Amen.
God. And I just want to turn to Evangelist Hilda and just thank her for being so faithful and coming on with these different programs. From Tuesday to Saturday, she opens up the program. Amen.
Amen.
So we just want to remember that how faithful Evangelist Hilda is. Amen. And she opens up the program from Tuesday to Saturday. And that she brings sweet hour of prayer, and also she brings a sermon. It might be on Thursday if Pastor Kathy is not there, and then on Friday. Amen. So we're just so grateful for Evangelist Hilda. Amen. And we also give a shout out to the sister Barbara, who won't be on today. Amen. We know that she'll be here in the spirit.
Amen.
And she brings beautiful poetry, and she also brings a lesson on Wednesday.
Yes.
I believe it's Wednesday that she brings a lesson.
Yes.
And also our First Lady brings a lesson on Tuesday.
Praise
our
God.
First Lady Nadine, she
yes.
brings a lesson on Tuesday. And you don't want to miss these lessons and these prayers and everything and these sermons. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. And that's from what time, Evangelist Hilda?
From 7 to 8.
7 to 8. Okay. Amen. Praise
Amen.
God.
Yes.
And also I want to give a shout out to people that have been a blessing to this ministry.
Yes.
Apostle Jackson, Dr. V. Turner, and Prophetess Washington.
Amen.
Them, their families, and also their congregations.
Amen.
We want to give a shout out to them this morning. We appreciate what they have done for this ministry. Amen.
Praise God.
And now you know what I'm going to say. I'm going to turn. We're going to turn our attention to the only wise God.
Yes.
Amen. The only wise God. Father God, the most high God.
Yes.
Ahaya is his name. It's Ahaya comes from I am that I am. That is his name forever. Ahaya. Amen. So we're going to turn our attention to him this morning. Amen. He's the creator of the universe, the most high God, and he's the almighty. Amen. The almighty God. Amen. And we're remembering his son this morning, who died on the cross. Amen.
Yes.
Who gave up his life that we might have a right to the tree of life, that we might be able to enter in and have a personal, intimate relationship with Father God, the Most High. We'll be able to have a personal and intimate relationship with him. So wherever you are, you could be in this country or any other part of the world. You could be in Haiti.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot going on right now in Haiti.
Yes.
But you might be in Haiti. Amen. You might be in China, India. You might be in Africa. Wherever you are, you could be in Australia. You could be in Cuba. You could be in the Caribbean.
Yes.
Wherever you are, amen. We are looking forward to this program going to all four corners of the earth, wherever you are, and you're listening and hearing the sound of my voice right now. We're going to bow our heads while I say a prayer to the Most High God,
yes.
Ahaya. Amen. The Most High God. Father God, Most High, you are exalted. You are exalted far, far, far above the heavens and the earth.
Yes.
We humble ourselves under your mighty hand.
Yes.
The heavens is your throne and the earth is your footstool. We thank you for the love gift that you have given us in the person of your only begotten Son. We thank you for Christ's death, burial, and resurrection that ushered in the new covenant of amazing grace. Father God, we thank you for his shed blood at Calvary that covers us when we enter into your kingdom with the mighty name of Yeshua on our lips and in our hearts. We thank you for the forgiveness of our sins when we repent.
Yes.
We thank you for your ultimate mark of salvation by the seal of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Father God, you have the ability to be every place all at the same time. And so we acknowledge your presence in this place. We love you and we adore you, Father God. We thank you for your peace, for your hope. We thank you for your many blessings. Father God, we thank you for your patience towards us, Father God. As we face each new day and each new problem, Father God, we thank you that when we come into your presence, Father God, and we pray to you, Father God, that you hear us and that you act on what you hear, that you give us the solutions to every problem.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you for it, Father. Father God, I just want to lift up Evangelist Hilda right now, Father God. She said that she was in pain. Father God, there is nothing too hard for you. You are the Most High God. And I just ask you to give her body a touch right now. Take away that pain from her in the mighty name of Yeshua, Father God. Father God, you said that if we would pray in Ahaya, Abishim, Yeshua, Father God, that we could ask for healing. So I ask for healing for Evangelist Hilda right now, from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet, in the name of Yeshua. Amen.
Amen. I receive that. Thank you, Mother. In Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
So right now, as I usually do, I'm going to sing a song. Amen. That has to do with the Lamb. Amen. The Lamb of God, Yeshua. The Lamb of God. So if you know the song, you can sing along with me. And if you don't know the song, that's all right. Just listen to the words of the song.
Amen.
Because I believe that words mean a whole lot. Amen. Even in a song, words mean a lot. Amen. Praise God. So I'm going to sing this song right now, and then after that I'll get right into the word. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Your only Son, no sin to hide, but you have sent him from your side to walk upon this guilty sod and to become the Lamb of God. Your gift of love they crucified. They laughed and scorned him as he died. The humble King they named a fraud and sacrificed the Lamb of God. Oh, Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, you are the holy Lamb of God. Oh, wash me in your precious blood, for you become the Lamb of God. I was so lost, I should have died, but you have brought me to your side to be led by your staff and rod and to become the Lamb of God. Oh, Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the holy Lamb of God. Oh, wash me in his precious blood and to become the Lamb of God. I was so lost, I should have died, but you have brought
me to your side, to be led by your staff and rod, and to become the Lamb of God. Oh, Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the holy Lamb of God. Oh, wash me in his precious blood, who sacrificed and was the Lamb of God. Amen.
Amen.
Lamb of God.
Beautiful.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
We thank God for Yeshua. Amen. The Lamb of God. Amen. We thank God for him. And today we're going to have communion in remembrance of his sacrifice on the cross, how he gave up his life so that we might be able to enter in and have a personal, intimate relationship with God. Amen.
Amen.
He ushered in grace. Amen. He ushered in grace. Praise the Lord. So right now I'm getting ready to go into this word today, and before I go into it, I'm going to say a short prayer. And you can get your Bibles, your pens, and your papers out if you choose to do so. Father God, we thank you for this day, Father God, in remembrance of your dear Son, Yeshua. We thank you for that, Father God. And Father God, as I go forth today, I just ask you to protect that word as it goes forth, Father. Because the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but you came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So as I go forth today with the leading of the Holy Spirit, may it be all of you and none of me. In the mighty name of Yeshua, amen, amen, and amen.
Amen. Praise,
praise God. So now I'm in the third part of this sermon. Amen. I'm in the third part of this sermon, and I'm still going back to the scriptures of Numbers chapter 21, and it's from 4 to 9. Chapter 21. From 4 to 9. Let's see if I, maybe it'd be better if I take off. One second.
Mother, you're going into part 4.
Part 4?
Yes.
Amen.
We did part 3 last week, 21, 4 to
9. All right. Amen. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, "Wherefore have ye brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul hates this light bread." And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. You see, the Lord doesn't like complaining. And they kept complaining. There was complainers. No matter what he did, they wasn't satisfied. Amen?
Amen.
Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that Everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses obeyed. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, then he beheld the serpent of brass. When he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Amen.
Amen.
So one thing God is very serious about, obedience. You see, obedience is better than sacrifice.
Yes.
When you're obedient and you obey God, then good things will happen to you. Amen.
Amen.
When you're disobedient, then not too good of things will happen to you. Amen. It might cost you your life.
Mm-hmm.
If you're disobedient to God, it might cost you your life. That's why he likes obedience. Because if he gives you instructions and he says, stop, you know what I mean? Say you're walking and he tells you not to go there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That could cost you your life.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? If he gives you instructions,
yes.
You know, and sometimes you have people around you that's telling you, oh, that ain't God, or you know what I mean? Don't listen to that. Don't do that, and all that kind of stuff, because that sometimes they're Christians, but they're not listening to God. They don't know his voice. They're not hearing from God. You know what I'm saying? So they're not really following his instructions.
Mm-hmm.
They see you following his instructions, and they're trying to tell you not to do it. You see? But sometimes if you don't follow God's instructions, it could cost you your life.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? It could cost you your life.
Yes.
Anyway... I was listening to a story of someone. I was listening to something, and they was talking about how they was going someplace to have a good time. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And where they was going, they was driving there.
Oh, boy.
And they got a word that God told them not to go. You know, like the word they got. They surmised that God told them, don't go to that place. And don't you know that in that place that a truck went over a cliff?
Oh, my goodness.
In that place that they were going, a truck went over a cliff, the very place where they was going.
Wow.
It's very important to listen to what God is saying.
Amen.
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 Very important. I can't even stress it enough. So today we're going to talk about Korah's rebellion against God. Amen.
Amen.
And it says, and now I'll say against God's leadership. It was Korah's rebellion against God's leadership. See? And now we're going to take a look at his rebellion, and this is in Numbers 16 and verse 1, starting with verse 1, number 16, starting with verse 1. It says, then one day Korah, son of Izhar, a descendant of Kohath, son of Levi, conspired with Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab. He conspired with them. And also the son of Peleth from the tribe of Reuben. See, they were from the tribe of Reuben.
Mm-hmm.
But they were conspiring together. They were conspiring together. So they incited rebellion against Moses, along with 250 other leaders of the community, all prominent members of the assembly. They united together against Moses and Aaron and said, "You have gone too far. The whole community of Israel has been set apart by the Lord, and he is with all of us. What right do you have to act as though you are greater than the rest of the Lord's people?" See? See, this is what happens sometimes when the Lord raises you up to a higher level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people look at you and they say that, who do you think you are?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That, but they don't know that it's the Lord raising you up.
That's right.
You didn't raise yourself up.
Amen.
God raises you up. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And but they don't see it because, see, God is a spirit. God is a spirit being. And the person that's getting raised up is being led by God's spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You see, because they hear from God. They're hearing God's instructions. So when they're hearing God's instructions and they're being obedient to God, God will raise you up from one level to another. That's how he does.
Amen.
You understand? When you obey that level and you whatever lesson you need to learn on that level, you learn it, he raises you up to another level.
Amen.
Right, Evangelist Hilda?
That's right. Absolutely.
Because God have raised you up.
Amen. Amen. Yes, he has.
I remember where we was at HMC Ministries when HMC Ministries started.
Yes.
God raised you up. You know what I'm saying? So where you are now.
Yes, he did.
And still raising you up more.
To God
you know?
Be the glory. Yes.
Amen. Praise
Amen.
God. So apparently they forgot that Moses had every right because he was handpicked by God.
That's
and
right.
Chosen and sent to be their leader.
Amen.
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 God handpicked them. That's why you got to be careful who you talk about. Because you don't know. You know, only God knows our heart. He's the only one that knows our heart. So
yes.
Sometimes you might say, they wasn't sent. You don't know that. You don't know that what's happening between them and God.
Mm-hmm.
You have no idea. You know what I'm saying? So you have to be careful with that. If you have any things that you feel is wrong with the person, then you have to talk to God and let God take care of it.
That's right.
Because he's the one that knows. You don't know.
That's right.
You don't know a person's heart. You know, you don't know it. You don't know the relationship that God has with that person. Sometimes it's a relationship. Sometimes it's no relationship. But you don't know that. Only God knows that. So every time Moses heard their complaints about him, he would fall on his face to the ground before God in their defense because he knew that if God gets angry enough at them, he could wipe them out.
Yes, he would.
Because Moses knew God. You know what I mean? Sometimes people are talking about God, but they really don't know how God is and what he's about. That's why I always say it's best to get to know God and what he likes and what he doesn't like.
Yes.
It's best to know that.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't know it, you understand, it's just like when they had touched the ark, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Or a lot of different things, or when Sapphira and them, they kept back the money and all that kind of stuff. Those are things God doesn't like.
That's right.
And they end up dead, her and her husband.
You don't want to
You know, they
that.
End up dead.
Mm-hmm.
You see? So then Moses said to Korah and his followers, "Tomorrow morning, the Lord will show us who belongs to him and who is holy."
All right.
See?
Mm-hmm.
"The Lord will allow only those whom he selects to enter his presence."
Mm-hmm.
See?
Yeah.
So if you don't belong to the Lord, you can't enter his presence.
That's
so
right.
We'll see who the Lord selected. Do you understand? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
If you can't come into God's presence, then he didn't select you.
That's right.
So Moses told Korah and his followers that they must prepare their incense burners. Evidently, Moses had heard from God, and now he was telling them what God required them to do.
To do.
You
Amen.
See?
Yes.
So he must have been talking with God. He told them to prepare their incense burners.
Yes.
And Moses spoke to Korah and the Levites, saying, "Does it seem insignificant, a small thing, that God has chosen you among all the community of Israel to be near him, so you can serve in the Lord's tabernacle and stand before the people of the ministers, of the people to minister to them?" See? And even though Moses had already given, God has already given you and your fellow Levites this special ministry, you are still not satisfied, as you are demanding the priesthood, as well as even though the Lord has not called you to this position. So now you got to be very careful that you do the position, you do be in the position that God has called you to.
Yes.
You see? Mm-hmm. So they wasn't even satisfied. See, God had called them to minister to the people, stand in the tabernacle, and minister to the people in the tabernacle, the Levites. But they still wasn't satisfied. They weren't satisfied with that position. No. They were so busy watching Moses with what he was doing. You see, when you when you're in Christ and God has put you in a certain position, you need to pay attention to what God would have you to do.
Yes.
You know?
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
If God have you to do a certain thing, you can't be over there. You trying to take somebody else's place with what they're doing, and you don't think they're from God and all this. That's not your position. You have to do what God has told you to do. That's what
Amen.
You do.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So this scripture is talking to us today.
Thank you.
When you attempt to fill a ministry that God has not called you to,
mm-hmm.
you are revolting against God. See?
Yeah.
Because, see, God sets everything up. He has everything set at a certain time.
Uh-huh.
He had, you know what I mean? He has certain things set up. And if you're in the wrong place at the wrong time, then you mess up what God has. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
That's why if you're not willing to go, God have other people he can send instead of you. If you think, since you think you're so great, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And God can't do without you. You know what I'm saying? You have other alternatives. If you don't, fill the position that he has for you,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you busy minding somebody else's business.
Amen.
That's not your business.
That's right.
That's not your business. You know? Okay. You as a Christian should be having a relationship with God. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And he's the one who will place you where you belong. See, it's God that places you where you belong.
Right.
You cannot intrude on others.
No.
God will let you know when he is ready to put you in your place of ministry. You see? Because, you know, a lot of times you want to do a certain thing, but you're not ready for that yet.
That's right.
God has a timing for you. You're not ready yet. You know, I'm remembering years ago, I was very interested in, things, demonic spirits and stuff like that. And I had met this person who was far more advanced than I was years ago. And when I would talk about it, he wouldn't want to talk about it with me because I wasn't ready for that.
Right.
I wasn't ready for that then. I was interested in it, but I wasn't ready. You know, I needed to be taught more in order to be ready. Amen.
Amen.
In Numbers 16, starting from verse 12, Moses summons Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, but they refused to come before him. They complained about Moses taking them out of the land, flowing with milk and honey. And what land were they talking about? They was talking about Egypt. So they actually was talking about the very place where they had came from, where God had parted the Red Sea and brought them out of. You know, they was complaining they want to go back there.
Ungrateful.
Isn't that ridiculous?
Yes.
They want to go back to the place where they was like slaves over there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? God freed them from there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And the Red Sea parted, and now they want to go back. Mm-hmm. So they accused Moses of trying to kill them in the wilderness and treating them like subjects.
My.
Then Moses became very angry with them, and he told God not to accept their grain offerings. So now both Moses and God was angry about their murmuring and complaining.
Yes.
But even though Moses was angry, he kept right on falling down on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
You see? And he was praying for their defense, Korah and his followers, because he did not want God to destroy them. You see, because you don't want to get on the side of God's wrath.
Oh,
you know, when he's had enough.
Absolutely.
Because he'll destroy you when he's had enough. He's long-suffering, patient, and kind.
Yes.
But there comes a time when God has enough. He gets enough. He doesn't want to hear it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he gets to that point, don't care what you say. You know what I'm saying? You're going to suffer the consequences.
Absolutely.
So we see in verse 28, Moses said to them, "This is how you will know that the Lord has sent me to do all these things that I have done, for I have not done them on my own. If these men die a natural death, or if nothing unusual happens, then the Lord has not sent me. But if the Lord does something entirely new and the ground opens its mouth and swallows them and all their belongings and they go down alive in the grave, then you will know that these men have shown contempt for the Lord." So Moses hardly finished the words when the ground suddenly split open beneath them. The earth opened its mouth and swallowed the men, their households, and all their followers who were standing with them, and everything they owned. Look at the power of God. He opened
Amen.
That earth
Amen.
And swallowed them.
Mm-hmm.
See? He swallowed them.
Yes.
Swallowed their households. Swallowed their followers. You see? And everything that they owned went into the ground, into the grave.
Yes.
The earth closed over them, and they were vanished. They all vanished from among the people of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
All the people around them fled when they heard their screams.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess I would flee too, right?
That's
if you
right.
experience something like that,
I would be
you will know that
to the,
there is
to the
a God
side of the Lord.
You will know that there is a God, and you need to be obedient. Amen.
Amen.
God likes obedience. Amen.
Yes,
and not
does.
Complaining. You don't want no complaining either.
No complaining.
So my conclusion is, when you reject God's elect,
mm-hmm.
those that God appoints and sends regardless of whether they are male or female, that, you know, you are rejecting God and revolting against him.
Yes.
He will deal with you as he dealt with the Israelites, Dathan, Abiram, Korah, and their followers. God doesn't care what you think. He uses whoever he wants and places them where he wants to place them.
Amen.
See?
Yes.
Because you don't know the purposes and the will that God has for that person. How dare you think you know more than God? God says, I will raise them up before your eyes, your very eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what God told me one time. You know what I mean? He said, I'll raise them up right before your eyes.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's
right. He told me that one time. Amen.
Amen.
So I know that God is serious.
Yes,
especially when he's dealing with people and he's picking out different ones. You know what I mean? He doesn't want you to interfere with it. You know what I mean? He said, I'll take care of them. He said, and if they're faking and anything, guess what? Pretending, I'll take care of that too.
Amen.
You know, you can go to God about them. You know what I mean? But you know what I mean? What you feel.
Yes.
But God will take care of it. He'll take care of the situation.
Yes,
amen.
Amen.
I hope you enjoyed this message today, and I now turn it back in the hands of Evangelist Hilda.
Amen. Praise God. We want to thank Apostle Mother Wiggins for that wonderful word. I think that deserves a hand clap. Praise. Praise be to God. At this time, Apostle Mother Wiggins is going to give the call to salvation and the benediction. Following that, we will go into our communion service. Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, this is the time that's why we're on the air right now on the radio program to give people a time that if they want to come to Christ, this is their time now. Amen. Praise God. God have opened up a way for you to come into his kingdom. So if there's anyone out there who wants to come into God's kingdom, all you have to do is say this short prayer after me, this short confession. Today I give you my heart, wash it and cleanse it.
Today I give you my heart, wash it and cleanse it.
I repent of my sins and I ask your forgiveness.
I repent of my sins and I ask your forgiveness.
I thank you for forgiving me, Lord, and I forgive myself.
I thank you for forgiving me, Lord, and I forgive myself.
I believe that you raised your only son, Yeshua, from the dead.
I believe that you raised your only son, Yeshua, from the dead. Amen.
I now take him into my heart, and I confess him as the Lord and Savior over my life.
I now take him into my heart and I confess him as the Lord and Savior over my life.
Now, if you have said this short prayer, we welcome you into the body of Christ. Amen. It could be one person. It could be 20 people. We don't know. Only God knows that. And I know that all heaven is rejoicing. When you said that short prayer, the Holy Spirit came to reside inside of you, and he's the divine teacher. So if you don't have a church home, just ask him to lead you to the right place where you can hear the word, where you can mature, and where you can have fellowship with other believers. So again, we welcome you into the body of Christ.
Amen.
As it says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, This is Peter writing to God's people. God the Father knew you and chose you long ago, and his Spirit had made you holy. As a result, you have obeyed him and have been cleansed by the blood of Christ. May God give you more grace and peace. So may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from another, and let us all say amen.
Amen, amen, amen. So as we get ready to go into our communion service, I would like to play a selection to give you time to get your elements in hand. Amen.
Bread of life sent down from glory. Many things you were on earth, a holy king, a carpenter. But you are the living word, say it now. Come on. Come on, Houston, you can say it one time with us. Bread sent down from glory. Many things. Come on, somebody say it.
Many things you were on earth, a holy king, a carpenter. You are the
living
word.
Gentile Redeemer, God with us,
God with us, the living truth, and what a friend we have in you
are an awesome ruler, Gentile
Redeemer,
God with us, the together, this is what we'd like to call you, Jesus, Jesus. That's what we call you, yeah. You were born in a manger, but on a tree you died to save
man. The
King, Jesus,
Jesus.
That's what we call.
Amen. Praise be to God. So at this point, we will begin our communion service. We will play a hymn, which I just did, to give you time to get your elements. It can be a wafer or matzah with no yeast and a small glass of grape juice and your Bible. So the Lord's service is for the Lord's people, those born again and living a holy life. The scriptures are clear that each person bears responsibility before God to determine his or her fitness to partake. So let us read 1 Corinthians 11 and 28. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. And it says, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. But the participation is not optional for the believer. Christ said in 1 Corinthians 11 and 24, "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' This do, if you know that your child has prayed to receive Christ and that he has a basic understanding of the symbolism involved, then he, she, or they should be free to participate. For the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 24, where it says, 'For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Now we will have a short prayer for this bread, which is the body of Christ, by our very own Apostle Mother Wiggins. Amen.
Father God, we just thank you for Christ's sacrifice, Father God, that his body was broken for us, Father God, so that we might be free, Father God, free of sin, Father God, free to enter into grace, Father God, so that if we stumble and fall, Father God, if we can come and repent, Father God, of our sin, Father God. And he became the final sacrifice. So we thank you for his sacrifice, Father God. We are going to take this bread in remembrance of him. Amen.
Amen. So let us eat together.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise be to God. So the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11 through 25, "In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's faith till he comes.'" And now we will have a short prayer for the representation of the blood of our Lord and Savior. And I will read, say the prayer first in Messianic blessing, and then in translate in English. Amen. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Barek Pra Haganfen Ha'amite Yeshua Ha-Mashim-A. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, creator of the true fruit of the vine, Yeshua the Messiah. Amen, amen, and amen. So let us drink together.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord God. Sweet, sweet. So may the Lord bless and keep you, that you might grow strong in the image of Christ to redemption. And let us all say amen.
Amen. Praise.
And that concludes our communion service for this morning. It's always a blessing to be here on the first Saturday of every month to represent our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins, that we may have eternal life through him. Amen. So at this time, I will play another selection. And after this selection, we will come back with our talk in the sanctuary. Unfortunately, Pastor Kathy will not be with us this morning. So, Mother, I guess you and I will have to come up with some topic to talk about this morning. Praise
yeah,
God.
I don't know why. Well, we'll think about
yeah,
something.
We will, definitely. Fill me up. I am so filled right now. Yes. Beautiful song. I love that song. Yeah, I need.
Well, I love the ending of
God.
I mean, I love
more and more of you.
So beautiful.
It is. Yeah, mm-hmm. But I also liked the version of that Tasha Cobb sings. She sings the same song, but you know, differently than the original Cassidy.
Cassie. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, I was thinking about, did you think of something?
No, I was going to just read some stories, of prayer that cares for others, by Billy Graham and Max Licato.
Well, I just want to say one thing.
Yes, definitely.
Even you could do that. I thought I was listening to the song.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about us talking about how we got filled up by the Lord. Mm-hmm. And not only that, our journey. Our journey. You could talk about your journey from what made you come into being with the Lord, the ministry. You know what I mean? What was your journey in the Lord? I know that you was in another church. Was that Seventh-day Adventist?
Yes, yes.
You know? When did you start to know that you're going to be in the Lord and all of that? I thought that we should talk on that.
Oh, that sounds great. I started when I was a young girl, when I came, even when I was living in the South, and I always had this feeling of caring for others, even though so many, things happened in my life growing up. But it didn't stray me from believing. And even during that time, I felt that God had his hands on me and that he was protecting me from, the situations and stuff that I was in. And then when I came to New York and I started off by going to, the Catholic Church and like I couldn't understand the language that they were speaking, because, you know, during that time, the priest was doing all the reading and preaching, and all, you know, the congregation just says amen, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, but there's no, it's like it wasn't stirring up my spirit. And it was like,
mm-hmm.
I went, the same way I went in is the same way I came out. I felt no difference, you know. And I'm saying, like, no, this is not what it's all about. Mm-hmm. So then I went a couple of times to that, and then I was like, nah, this is not for me. And then when my sister's grandparents had came to New York from Barbados,
mm-hmm.
or the Bahamas. No, the Bahamas. They came from Bahamas. And they were Seventh-day Adventists. So
mm-hmm.
I liked it, you know, going down there to their home, to their apartment every Wednesday. We would have Bible studies and praying. And then every Friday, the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then we would
mm-hmm.
go to church on Saturday, and it was exciting, you know, just singing those beautiful songs, and the
mm-hmm.
music is playing, and I, you know, like, I was like, yes, this is what I want to be.
That's what you want, right?
Yes, because, as you know, you can always know when your spirit is happy, or when it's flaring up, because you could, for me, it's like, I could feel the hairs rising in the back of my neck and on my arms and thing. And I was like, yes. And this is what, and I just felt so good. Like nothing would bother me after that. So then after I moved, got married and had my oldest son, then we moved to Brooklyn. And then we got baptized into the Seventh-day Adventist religion and stuff. But, of course,
mm-hmm.
you know, in that, you can't wear no makeup, no jewelry, and all of that kind of stuff. Even though I wasn't into all of that stuff anyway, so
mm-hmm.
it didn't really bother me.
Didn't
but
matter to you.
No. And it's just the fact that they was like, in Brooklyn, it was exciting. I loved going to Seventh-day Adventist Church. But then when
mm-hmm.
I left Brooklyn and I came to the Bronx, and I went to one of the Seventh-day Adventist churches in the Bronx, and I didn't get that same feeling. I didn't get that warmth and that compassion. And, you know, like people greeting you with a smile and not walking in with their heads all up in the sky like that, you know, they better than you are. And I was like, what in the world is this?
What happened?
What happened?
Yeah.
And then till I realized that there are different types of Seventh-day Adventist churches.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. You got some Seventh-day Adventist church, they just like Baptists, honey. They be shouting and jumping and praising the Lord. And then you got
mm-hmm.
some, you have some that just sit there like zombies, like they only come to church for show, you know, with the
mm-hmm.
big fancy hats and tailor-made suits and big fancy
yeah.
cars parked outside. You know, I was like, nah, this is not where I want to be.
That ain't for you.
This is not for me. So then my sister had introduced me to her church, which was, you know, a Baptist church. And I was like, yeah, Baptist. And because, you know, you always hear stories about how the Baptist church, the people be jumping up and praising the Lord, not, but they don't be falling out like the other church, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't mentioned no names, but they don't be falling out and acting crazy and stuff, because the Holy Spirit doesn't work like that, you
mm-hmm.
know.
Yes.
But anyway, I ended up in in the Baptist church. And then from the Baptist church, I ended up into where I am today, which is Christian church.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where, you know, the Lord had brought me all the way around to bring me right to where I am. So if this mm-hmm. is where he wants me to be, because, you know, you got to ask God, Lord, you sure this is where you want me to be? And this is what am I supposed to be doing?
Yes.
And yes. And so here I am. I mean, I have been in subways, preaching the word, giving out tracts, singing. We was traveling to nursing homes, singing and praising the Lord. And we ended up in a building, but sometimes the buildings weren't as nice to us as we were faithful to the Lord. No matter what weather we was in or how cold we were still faithful. And
yeah,
so,
I forgot about that cold.
Oh my God! I think in that the church in Brooklyn that we was in on Jerome.
Yeah, I think it was the other one on Tompkins Avenue. I think it was
Tompkins. Jerome, those two churches, and then over here on Tremont, I tell you, I was like, man, my body was so cold that I couldn't even hardly move. I was afraid to even get to stand up and move around because that's how cold it was. But God kept us strong. And
he
I
sure
can't
did.
Complain because, you know, he protected us and he have us to where we are today. So I
Amen.
Am so thankful and grateful for him being in my life. And, you know, and I raised my children to know who he is. And, you know, once you plant the seed, then, you know, God do the growing. So
he sure does.
Yes, he does.
Something I wanted to ask you about, I know you used to cook in the church.
Yes.
I remember that you used to cook.
Mm-hmm.
That you, so what you did, you volunteered for that, or how did that come about?
At that time, they were looking for people, you know, good cooks and stuff, because they always have the sign up on the door that says, the best cooks walk through this kitchen door. and they still have that sign up. So one day they asked me, you know, they were asking people what they want to make to bring, because that time everybody brought in a dish.
Mm-hmm.
So I always volunteered for the desserts. And so I used to bring, you know, the cheesecakes. Sometimes I would bring, like, chocolate cake or apple jelly cake, you know, whenever we had a function. Or sometimes we would just want to celebrate somebody's birthday after service. We go downstairs and we, you know, eat and everything. And then when we had visiting churches, we would cook up a big meal for them. So one day they had asked me if I would make oxtails. I was me with my, you know. I'll make oxtails for you guys. No problem. Didn't realize, you know, oxtails are very expensive. And then you have to have enough for a full church, you know. Like, you didn't know it could be like 30, 35 people.
Yes. Oh, God.
Especially when you have a visiting church. So that night, oh, my goodness, I bought two boxes of oxtails from Western Beef, and I had them cut off some of the fat, not all of it, because, you know, the fat is what makes the meat tender.
Mm-hmm.
So I season up those oxtails and stuff, and I put them in the oven. I cook them in the oven. I ain't bothered to cook them on top of the stove.
Yeah.
I just put them pans of oxtails inside of there, and then, oh, my God. I was like, wait a minute. I made 4 pans of oxtails, and I didn't even get one.
Oh, my God.
Everybody was saying, oh, my God. Not one piece did they say.
Oh, my God.
And I was saying, like.
You should have left them home.
I know, but, you know, I didn't.
I didn't know that was going to happen.
I was just like, okay, I'm going to just be like everybody else and eat in the church and things. If I knew that I wasn't going to get any of those oxtails, I definitely would have put a little bowl aside for myself.
Something for yourself, huh?
Yes. All I heard was, who made the oxtails? Who made the oxtails? Ooh. Oh, my God, these are the most delicious oxtails. And then I went back there in that kitchen after we done served everybody. And I went back there thinking that, you know, I'm going to get me some. Not one oxtail was left. The pans were empty.
Oh, my gosh.
I was like, okay, I learned my lesson. So whenever I make something for the church's occasions and stuff, now I always take out a little bowl for myself for later.
For yourself, right?
Yes, no matter what I make.
You said I learned my lesson.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I would make like two pans of macaroni and cheese. And then, you know, I would make string beans or collard greens with smoked neck bones or ham hocks, whatever you want to throw in there. And then, you know, the best part about collard greens is when you cook them and then you fry up some fat back or bacon.
Mm-hmm.
And then you pour all of that into the greens. And then you put them on a low fire and just let them simmer. Oh, my goodness. Mm. Not too much water because, you know, water makes them soggy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that, I tell you. And
wow.
I did that until, you know, I left the church and I've been here ever since, so.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's a wonderful story, a wonderful journey.
Yeah, God, I tell you, from when I was a little girl out in the cotton field, God had his hands on me. He was leading me to where he wanted me to go. And I always, you know, had like a deep compassion for the elderly because, you know, part of my life, my grandmother raised me and, you know, I saw what she went through and everything, and I said, that's what I want to do when I grow up. I want to be a nurse, that I could take care of the people. I didn't want to sit behind my desk and just write papers.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to be hands-on, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got, you know, I started off working in hospitals, and then I went from the hospitals to the nursing home. And I said, well, this is where God wants me to be, and this is where I stayed. I stayed at the nursing home for 36 years.
Yeah. And I know you have a blessing there.
Yeah. My patients, they love me. They didn't like when I was off, but I was like, you know, I need a rest too. But it's so much better when you're here. I say, yes, I know that. But, you know, Because, you know, like, even if they were not my patients and the patient wanted to go to the bathroom or whatever, I'll just take them. It doesn't matter, because I look at the fact that, hey, we all going to get there one day. So you mistreat people, because some of them, they're like, that's why the Bible says, once a man, twice a child. So you don't mistreat, right? You don't mistreat any human being, no matter whether they old, young, or in between. It hurts my heart to see what these young people today are doing to these elderly people. It really makes me so angry, and I'm like, God forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing.
Not only that, they don't know they're going to be in that spot one day. They're going to be there.
If they even live that long to be in that spot.
If they live that long.
You know, that's what we got to look at. Their lifespan can be cut off just like that, because the lifestyle that they are living is a very short life.
Yes.
Because if you going around, this lady is a little, I mean, she looked like she was about 70-something years old. And right there in Brooklyn, she was walking her dog, minding her own business, walking her dog. And these three guys just came up to her, didn't know the lady from Adam's Apple. They just went right up to her and punched her right in her face.
Oh, my God.
This other old man, he looks to be almost 80 years old. He was on his phone talking. And they just walked up to him and sucker pumped him right into the side of his head.
Oh,
why
my
would
gosh.
You do something like that? These old people have not done anything to you. Then you look, you see one guy, the little old 90-year-old man, going to in the mailbox to take his mail out of the thing. This guy come up behind him, all in the man's pocket. And they must have been watching the man, because, you know, he took over $800-$900 from the man.
Wow.
Yeah. Now you're not even safe to go to your mailbox to get your mail. And the thing is, a lot of these seniors and them, they don't like to keep their money in banks. You know, they think it's safer at home. It's not.
It's not safe at home. No.
It's not even safe at home. Because if people know that you got money in your house, and they know a lot of these senior people, you know, when they get their money, they go to the bank, they pull all the money out except for a few dollars, and they keep the money in the house. No. That's inviting the thieves to come.
Yeah.
You just keep enough that if you want to order something,
you want to buy some food.
Exactly.
And something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But not, you know, pull your whole pension or Social Security check out of the bank and keep in the house, because that is definitely not
dangerous.
A safe thing to do.
Yeah. You know, I had something that happened to me years ago. You know, I used to go to rehearsals, you know, the rehearsals at the church. But you know, even though you get a certain age, you feel like that's an older age. But sometimes that's not, you know what I mean? I was still younger then, but at the time I felt like it was a little older, you know what I mean? But anyway, we had rehearsals until late at night, and I had to come home, you know, on the bus.
Yes.
And have a car, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to come home on the bus. So this particular night, I was at the bus stop, and there was nobody at the bus stop but me. It was late. I don't know what time it was. I don't know if it was 11 o'clock or it was late.
Yeah, that's late.
And for me, that's late. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Sitting at the stop waiting for the bus. And if I was there by myself, and I tell you the truth, I did feel a little uneasy standing
there. Of course.
There. But anyway, there's a young fellas across the street.
Uh-huh.
There's some young men. And they was over there on the other side. They was talking, but they was looking in my direction across the street.
Yeah.
And I was saying to myself, oh, my God. You know what I mean? I felt
mm-hmm.
like they were going to come across the street and, you know, maybe
yeah.
try to rob me or something.
Rob you or
you know,
something, yeah.
Yeah. They was just standing there, you know, and they was talking and all that, and look over at me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, do you know that while he was talking to me, a police car rolled up right in front of me?
Praise be to God. Woo! Thank you, Jesus.
And I was the only one standing there, mind you.
Yes.
The car just rolled right up and sat right in front of me. I said, well, look at God.
Hallelujah.
I attributed that to God. God used to just do some things like that. He would just do
Absolutely.
Things. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
When it looked like I was going to be harmed somewhere, something would
yeah.
happen.
Yeah.
God would be protected.
Yes, he do. He protects his own.
That he sure do. I was so elated by it. And then
yes.
my bus came and I just got on the bus.
Amen.
Police car just
Amen.
Rolled right up.
Yeah.
The fellas was on the other side of the street and he rolled right up in front of me and sat there. Like
Praise
they were protecting me.
Yes.
I said, and I attributed it. I that's why I love God so much.
I'm telling you.
So many things, you know what
mm-hmm.
I mean? And God has done. And that's some of the things that we can talk about, all the different things that God has done
God
for
has
us.
God has done for us, yes.
You know what I mean? Unusual
mm-hmm.
things, something unusual.
Yes.
Do you have something unusual that God has done for you?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I'm asking you, do you have something unusual that God has done for you? I mean, that you can think of in the past? Something that's out of the ordinary?
No, not at this
You can't
moment.
Think of it at the moment. Probably
no.
you'll think of it.
Yeah, it'll come to me. Maybe
yeah.
next week I'll think. But I'm telling you, it's like, you know, danger and stuff. I don't know. I always, like, been a homebody person. You know, I never
mm-hmm.
used to go out at late at night and stuff. But
mm-hmm.
when I was younger, yes. But as I got
mm-hmm.
older, then I kind of like, you know, limited my activities and stuff unless I was getting a ride home or something.
Yes.
But I remember one time I was at my sister's house and I
mm-hmm.
took a taxi instead of standing there waiting. And it was snowing that night. And
mm-hmm.
the driver, you know, I didn't realize that the man was sleeping.
Oh, wow, really?
He was
you say sleeping.
And,
you mean while we driving?
He was driving, and he, you know how the car would be swerving, and I'm thinking that maybe it's because of the roads are slippery and whatnot. But when
mm-hmm.
we got... When we got to the light and we sat there waiting for the light to change and the light had changed and he was still sitting there. So when I looked, the man was sleeping. And I was
mm-hmm.
like, yo, mister, are you all right? The light changed.
Oh, wow.
Are you sleeping? And then I put the windows down so that, you know, it would be cold in there. Because once, you know, when you're in a car and it's cold outside and you got that heat on, you
mm-hmm.
will fall asleep, especially
yes.
if you've been out there driving for hours and hours,
hours
and
hours.
Hours.
That's right. That's true.
Yeah. Because some
That's
of them
true.
Be out there for 16, 18 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
And they will get tired.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, Lord Jesus, please help me to get home safe.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him, take over this man's hands and guide this car to my destination. When I got
mm-hmm.
to my destination, I paid that man. And I said, listen, it's time for you to go home and sleep because you're going to have an accident. And You may walk away from it and you may not. It is snowing out here. And if your body is tired and it's telling you it's time to go home, go home.
That's right.
And he's like, okay, mommy, thank you, thank you, thank you. No, don't thank me. Just go home and sleep. Get up the next morning.
Yeah.
Oh, I knew that there, nobody did that but God, because I was like,
wow. Yeah, I had an experience like something like that. You know, when I used to come to the Bronx.
Yes.
I would drive is that they're so tired, you know.
Exactly.
I know I had one driver that he had somebody waiting, you know, waiting for talking to him on the phone constantly, so he didn't go to sleep.
Exactly.
You know? He was having somebody talk to him while he drives.
Because
he said if they didn't speak to him, he would go to sleep. You know, if he didn't,
and
they
that
didn't
is true.
And stuff like that.
That is true.
You know?
Yeah, it's true because their bodies are tired.
And they'd be out for long hours and everything like that.
Because I did that with my son, my youngest son, you know, when he came to get me and we was driving back to North Carolina. And I just talk all the way until I couldn't talk no more. Just, you know, to keep him from being bored and falling asleep.
So how long did that take? How long did that take to get there to North Carolina?
11 hours.
Oh, my God. 11 hours. So did y'all get your stop some?
Yeah, we stopped to go to the restroom to get him some, you know, he drinks a lot of Pepsi Colas. And so he got a six-pack of Pepsi Colas and thing. But we made it there, though. But the point is that's a long drive.
Yeah, that is a long drive. But you'll
it is. Can you imagine driving to Florida?
I don't know. I don't know.
He said,
how long it takes.
Yeah, but my son did it once. I think it's not 11 hours to go to North Carolina, and North Carolina is closer than Florida. So it took them like a day or two.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But he he would stop and sleep in the car on the side of the road or something, or go in a hotel. Or motel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but like when you go on trips like that, you need two drivers.
So to give the other one a break.
Right.
Yeah, to give a
driver
a break.
And that's how my oldest son and his wife, that's how they do. Like the first few hours, 6 or 7 hours she would drive during the daylight. And then he would do the driving at night.
At night.
Wow. Because while she's driving, he's sleeping.
Oh, you know what? I should have asked you about Pastor Kathy. Remember? She was.
Yes, she still has that problem with her mouth. She said the doctor said that it's the climate.
The climate that is too hot.
It's too hot for her body. It's like doing terrible things. Like, okay, it started with her mouth and stuff. And she said that, you know, she's still getting the soreness and the blisters. And so one day she went to work, she said, without, you know, lipstick and stuff. And just that's the ointment that she had bought. And her lips is like red like fire. And one of her co-workers said, ooh, what happened? And so, you know, she explained to him. And he said, oh, but I never knew that. She said, Imagine, God bless those who don't see and believe.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you tell people that, you know, your mouth is all blistered up and thing, and, you know, and you put lipstick on to cover it, which I think is very bad.
I think that's bad, yeah.
Yes, because you don't know what's inside of that lipstick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the chemicals in there, and especially your body is rejecting this heat. That's not good.
Not only
so
that,
now she says that
makes your lips more warmer, too.
Yeah.
Already.
And she
can't
eat. You know, all she could do is, like, barely drink. She lost a lot of weight.
Wow. She can't eat? Wow. And
because
you know
she said it burns her mouth. You know, her mouth feels like it's on fire.
Wow.
Yeah, and then,
and, you know,
she said one doctor said that it's the nerves mm-hmm. in her mouth and lips, they're damaged. Mm-hmm. So they're like, it's like inflammation.
Inflammation.
Yeah, and
but
as long as
that
she stay, huh?
Go ahead.
No, and she was saying as long as she stays in Arizona, she don't know something else could happen to her because her body cannot take that climate.
Mm. Well, you know, that really teaches you a lesson that, you know, before you go someplace, you got to find out what kind of weather it is.
Exactly.
What's over there. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, when she said it's 102 to 125 degrees,
yes,
that's a lot.
That is too much for the human body. But, see, people who are born there, they don't have a problem with the heat and stuff. It's people who move from where they were born and live in there.
To move there. Because their body is not adjusted. They can't adjust to that.
Right. Exactly.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
And her son never talked to her about the weather over there.
But that's not the first time that Pastor Kathy went to Arizona. She used to live in Arizona before.
Well, I don't understand why it's bothering her now. You sure it's that?
Mm-hmm. That's what she said. And she went to several doctors, including specialists.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, she's very conscious of her mouth, you know,
mm-hmm.
and you know she already have big lips as it is because she was
mm-hmm.
born with big lips, and when
mm-hmm.
your lips are inflamed and stuff, they get even bigger.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I was thinking to myself that maybe it's, you know, when you get older, things start happening to your body, you know.
Yeah,
things
especially
that you can't,
in hot
climates. When you was younger, you can't tolerate it when you get older.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly. So now
change.
her body cannot tolerate the heat there.
Yeah, maybe can't tolerate that heat.
Right.
Her body probably changed.
Exactly. Yep.
She
so
can't
she
tolerate
cannot it. Even, like, living in different islands and stuff because she can't take the heat. But Pastor Kathy,
mm-hmm.
even when she was younger, she had a problem, you know, with her body, with different climates, because when she came down one summer as a little girl, and she came down to North Carolina to visit for the summer, that first couple of days when she got bitten by mosquitoes, her skin swelled up. She got a lot of little white pimples on her skin. So my mother
mm-hmm.
had to come back and get her and bring
mm-hmm.
her back to New York because, you know, mosquitoes carry, they carry diseases and stuff because, you know, they land and suck the blood of anything. And then
mm-hmm.
if they inject that into you, then wow, you will
mm-hmm.
swell up and die.
Mm-hmm.
So as a little girl, my mother mother had to hurry up and come back and get her and take her to different doctors.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. So she has to be very careful where she live.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Wow.
She didn't have that problem when she was in Georgia, because see, Georgia has a change of seasons, like mm-hmm. here. You know.
Mm-hmm. I want I want to ask you. Okay, mm-hmm. in Georgia they have a lot of trees and things. They have a lot of trees and stuff
yeah.
in Arizona.
Yeah, they do. Oh man, they have too many trees. Depends. I mean, like if you live in the city, they have trees, but not. Not as much trees as if you lived in the country part of Georgia.
Oh.
And where she lived, you know, she lived way up, way down in the country part of Georgia. She wasn't mm-hmm. that close to the city and stuff.
Okay. I was thinking
it's just like North Carolina, too. It, you know, it depends on what part of North Carolina you go in. If you're in the city. Then you don't have a problem with the trees and stuff. But if you live in the country part of North Carolina, man, you got trees, you got snakes, you got mosquitoes, you got everything.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That's what I said. Me, I ain't going back down there to live. Nope. Thank mm-hmm. you. I mean, it's a beautiful country. It's a beautiful country, but it can stay there. Not me.
You don't like snakes.
I don't like snakes. Don't like bugs. Don't like mosquitoes. Nope.
What?
I don't know why I'm terrified of insects and especially snakes. I just seen too many snakes in my lifetime to even want to be around them. Especially mm-hmm. when they go inside your pump where you go to drink the water, pumping the thing, and all of a sudden this darn snake come popping out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how the heck did you get in there?
I wanted to tell you something. Here at my house, you know, I have a lady that lives upstairs, right? She's not an elderly lady. She's a young kind of woman. Uh-huh. And I heard all this hollering and screaming upstairs, right? And I said, what's the problem? You know, I don't walk well. I can't run up there, you know. But anyway, the landlady had gone up there with her. You know,
mm-hmm.
and come to find out later, she was running from a water bug.
Oh my goodness!
They said that she was terrified over the water bug, and she was up there howling and screaming, and on top of something, you know, she had her daughter live up there with her.
Uh-huh.
And I heard all this howling and screaming. I said, well, what happened? You know, I thought, I don't know, what could be wrong? You know,
mm-hmm.
and come to find out, she was terrified of a water bug.
Oh my.
Mm. Yeah, he's terrified of
man,
that.
Please. I have a little mice that's running around here, and I can't catch that little bugger for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't, you know, jump and scream and all of that nonsense. I just sit there I was sitting there one night at the table reading my Bible. And then mm-hmm. all of a sudden I see a shadow and I look up. I looked down, I said, wait a minute, and how did you get in my house? And he was like screaming because I have these things, and the noise from the thing, the plug-in thing, and he's screaming, it was like a little baby one, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm saying, you eking? You better get your butt on out of here. Next thing I know, honey, he ran into the kitchen and he ran behind the refrigerator. I wasn't going to pull no refrigerator out to look for him. No, I was like, when you ready to come out of here, you will come out.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been in this place almost 23 years and mm-hmm. I never saw the mice. But you can always, you know, you don't see them. You just see their droppings.
You know what, Evangelist Hilda?
Uh-huh.
That's ironic. That's ironic what you just said.
What? That you don't see them, but you see their droppings.
You know that you've been there almost 23 years, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I've been living here almost 23 years.
Wow.
That's what I thought. That was
isn't that?
I was saying to myself, I used to say, gee, I said, well, you know, there's similar things that happen between you and I.
Yes.
And then you told me you've been living there 23 years. And I said, but wait a minute now. I've been living here about 23 years. It's true.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
I was just saying that yesterday. I said, my God, I've been living here a long time, you know.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And believe it or not, my disappointment still looked the same way when I moved in here.
Mm-hmm.
The only difference is like it's more junkier, but
mm-hmm.
it's the same. I mean, you know, I only paint this place one time, and that was about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I painted it, and it's like a eggshell white.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Robert and I painted this apartment, and after that, it never been painted again. I said,
wow.
After all that work, it will never get painted again.
Because yeah, it's work.
Yes,
you gotta
it's
move
a lot of work.
Around and stuff.
Oh,
it's
my
work.
Gosh.
I had that happen here with painting. I said, oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? The fella came in here to paint some stuff in here. Lord.
Yes, absolutely. When you got to move all the furniture in the middle of the floor and just make sure you have space that you can, you know, get to the walls. But thank God the walls are like smooth walls. So you just
mm-hmm.
take the roller brush and go on about your business.
Mm-hmm.
But I tell you, it's a lot of work, and that's why I said if it gets painted again, it will be when God takes me out of here and I'm gone. That's the only time it will get painted again, when they go to rent this apartment out again.
Wow.
Yeah, it's too much work, and I see. Before I used to paint every holiday.
Mm-hmm.
I would paint for Christmas, for Thanksgiving, paint for the
wow.
New Year. I was like, I can't do this. And my
when
body
younger,
was like,
Yeah, when you get older, you can't, you know,
I said this body is getting too old to be doing all of this.
Yeah. When you're younger, you could do. But when you get older.
Yes. I mean, when I was younger, I had no problem. I would move the furniture and paint the apartment and fix everything, put in new curtains and whatnot.
Yeah, me too.
Boy, as the body starts to get older and the pain start coming, I was like, nope, that's it. I'm done. Done.
Yep. Yeah, because a lot of things I had in my apartment, I said, I can't believe that I brought these heavier things into my apartment. You know what
yes,
I mean?
Yes, exactly.
But you know, when you're young, you know, when
right.
you get older, you say, well, I don't know, I don't see how I could have done that.
That makes two
but
of us. I was like, oh my God, how did I bring all this stuff in here? Ooh, what? I have the first china cabinet, right? That when I first got married, that was the first dining room set that I had bought when we moved to Brooklyn, and I still have that cabinet.
Wow.
That's the only thing that I have left of my marriage is the china cabinet.
Yeah, I remember the cabinet. I remember that cabinet.
Yeah, and it's still sitting there. You know how old that cabinet is?
Yeah, I understand.
I just had to
pick out stuff that was old, you know?
Yes, I got married in 73.
Mm-hmm.
In 1973. And I bought the cabinet in 73. So you know how many years that is? And see, that was during the time when the furniture was furniture, strong and
I know. Furniture. I just go some strong furniture.
Yes, but the stuff they make today, please.
I know what you're saying. I know.
Yeah, as soon as you bring it in the house and you put it up, and about a week or two later, it starts falling apart.
Yep. Well, let me tell you, you know I'm moving to the Bronx, right? I'm trying to.
Trying, yes.
Yeah, I'm trying to get to move to the Bronx. But Robin wanted me to buy some new furniture, some new stuff.
Yes.
I told him I'm not buying no new stuff. I'm keeping what I have. My stuff is strong and sturdy. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
If I can't walk too good and I lean on something, it ain't gonna fall down. I'm telling
Thank
you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mother. You
furniture.
And I think just alike. Why should I get rid of good stuff to buy new stuff? Because listen. Old stuff is better than new stuff because that new stuff will tear up in a minute.
But not only that, if you have to have a support where you have to lean on it a minute because you've gotten older.
Yes.
I have some new pieces around, and if I can't lean on them because they'll just fall down.
Exactly.
I can't lean on them. Like I have I'm leaning on a table right now, but my table is strong. I have a strong table. You know, I have they're small pieces now, but they're still strong pieces, you know.
Exactly.
And when you get older, you don't think you need it, but you do. I mean, if you have a lot of pieces that's so weak that you need a support, you're going to fall down with that furniture.
Absolutely.
You know? You ain't going to fall down with that furniture. That's what's going to happen. You know.
Honey. That's it. I said, that's the strongest piece of furniture I have in my house is that china cabinet. And I was going to throw it away. But Robert told me, no, don't you dare throw that away. That's good. I said, but I don't use it for anything. I just store things in it.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and
you know something?
And it takes up space.
Mm-hmm. I want to tell you something about a story of a fella that I think was his mother, his grandmother, died, and she had a lot of old furniture, you know, and he was talking about it was junk. That her furniture she had was junk.
Uh-huh.
And when he had that furniture appraised, that furniture was worth a lot of money.
Okay.
It was like antique pieces.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? He was so shocked. He didn't know what to do. That furniture was worth a lot of money that she had in her apartment.
That's right.
You know.
See, they don't realize that, and they just throw stuff out.
Mm-hmm. I had a wardrobe in here. Well, the fellas took out the wardrobe. I had them take out some furniture, big pieces.
Yes.
And I had a wardrobe in here, and if you saw that wardrobe, it still looked the same like when I bought it.
All right.
And that wardrobe.
That's what I'm talking about.
But listen to this. At that time, that wardrobe only cost me $20. 20 bucks. When I see, if you see that wardrobe now, I thought to myself, you have to spend money on that wardrobe now. I don't know. I think that would cost about every hundred, maybe $200, a couple of hundred dollars for that wardrobe. Maybe more. I don't know.
Are you kidding? Furniture now, even the cheesy looking stuff is like thousands of dollars.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And the furniture I let go is very sturdy furniture that used to be in my mother's house.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, because they don't make furniture like that anymore.
They don't make it no more. They don't make that kind of furniture.
Exactly.
Strong furniture.
And even if you call like those used furniture stores, man, they come and get that. Some of them take that furniture and they ship it overseas to their family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because one
good,
time when I was moving,
strong furniture.
One time I was moving, right? I had a lot of furniture, so I decided to get rid of some of it when I was moving, right?
Uh-huh.
And I put it outside. You know, I was renting from the lady.
Yes.
I put the stuff outside. She was so worried about it being outside. Let me tell you, that furniture was gone in a matter of 10 or 15 minutes. Somebody
Absolutely.
Came and them pieces of furniture just like that.
That's right. It was That's what they do. Listen, they, soon as you put that furniture outside and before you could get upstairs good, that furniture is gone.
Furniture gone.
Yes.
Furniture gone.
Mm-hmm.
I said, oh, my gosh. You know what I mean? It's gone. It's gone.
Yeah, you see,
I didn't even
some
have
of
to
these
worry
guys,
about it.
Exactly. Some of these guys over here by us, when they put the furniture outside and like, somebody would see it like wow. Next thing you know, they done got a truck or van or something, and that furniture be packed inside of there and gone.
That's gone. Furniture gone. That's right.
You ain't even got to worry about the garbage people taking it because somebody else. They always say one man's treasure, junk is another person's
junk is another
treasure.
Man's treasure.
That's right.
That's true. That's
absolutely.
Yeah, well, I'm going to leave you now. We look at that. We done went past 12 o'clock.
Yep, we sure did.
Yeah,
so,
we went past 12 o'clock. And I enjoyed your journey.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
You know, like,
maybe
I,
one day
I,
we can hear about Sister Barbara's journey or Pastor Kathy's journey.
Good luck with that one.
Yeah. Good luck with that, huh?
Yeah. You know,
yeah.
Some people are very private, though. They don't like discussing, you know. But Pastor Kathy, she don't have a problem with that.
You don't have a problem with her journey.
No. She'll tell you from during the times when she was eating out the garbage can. She ain't ashamed to tell nobody about her past and where she is.
Well, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know that singer had the same experience.
Which singer?
You know that singer? She's a really good singer. And her and her husband have that program. Oh, Lord. I can't remember her name. But if I said her name, you sure would know who she is. But her and her husband, always wear these funny clothes on a program.
Oh, the Tamala Man.
Tamala Man.
Mm-hmm.
You heard about her experience, right?
No. I used to look at her show.
She said she used to eat out of garbage cans.
So did Pastor Kathy.
But that's what I'm saying. That she had a similar experience.
Yes.
You know, that she used to eat out of garbage cans out in her family.
Mm-hmm.
She was that poor.
When you are first starting out and you are poor and homeless and, you know, like, there's a lot of things that you would do just to keep your children alive and surviving. Even Tyler Perry, he was homeless, and look at him now.
Wow, right.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
People who never had anything, and when they got to where they are, they they don't forget where they come from. But you got some people who, when they get money and stuff, they look at what's her name, Little Kim. Now you tell me, who would spend $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 on a 4-year-old birthday party? Nobody in their right mind.
You
buy that child a $10,000 bracelet. Yeah, but she said she wanted to give her daughter everything that she did not have. You can't give a child everything that you did not have. Because number one, that child is going to grow up and feel like there's nothing that they want that they won't get. And when you spoil a child to being like that, and the day come when they can't get that, that makes them go out there and steal. Because now mama ain't here to give me everything that I want. It's not because she needed it. That little girl don't know the value of all the things that her mother gave her. She don't know the value. She's 4 years old. What does she know? They play with the thing for 1 minute, and the next minute they throw it in a corner somewhere.
I'm going to have to leave you because I got to eat my breakfast. And I'm,
me too. I haven't had breakfast either.
I got to go eat something.
All right, Mother.
But I really enjoyed this today.
Me too. So I will see you next Saturday, God's willing, and all is well, and we are still here.
All right. And
so
I hope
you feel
better.
Day. I hope so too. But I know I will. Once I get up and start moving around, the pain, you know, it don't bother me so much moving around as when I'm sitting down trying to do something, you know. That's when it just weeping.
All right. Where you having pain at?
It's from my waist all the way down my leg. It's the right side, and I know it's what's that word? Sciatica.
Sciatica.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And my two knees. You know, the knee problem I always have. That's arthritis. The hips is bursitis, and then but I don't want to claim any of it. But you know, this is what the diagnosis that the doctor gave me.
Oh, okay.
So,
all right.
Even though I'm not claiming it, but I know that it's there, you know.
So how was Sister Barbara doing with her operation with her knees? She doing all right?
She's have good days and bad days, but she's doing okay. Yeah.
Mhm. Because you know my landlady.
Yeah, your landlady had knee surgery too?
She's in the hospital getting knee surgery.
Oof. I mean, like, I don't want to have to get to that point.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I'm trying to do whatever I can do, you know. It feels like when I put the ice packs on it like cools it down. You know, the coldness, because it's inflamed inside. So once you put the cold pack, that helps relieve a little of the inflammation.
Yes. I understand what you're saying.
Right.
I talked to my caregiver, you know. We're talking about getting your knees done, you know, for surgery and all that. But she told me about a man that he had knee surgery, and he didn't get to walk. He just wound up in a wheelchair.
Yeah, a lot of people do. It depends on how your body reacts to it. Yes.
How your body reacts to it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why they tell you to do that as a last resort.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Don't run to it right away. They don't.
No, once they go inside and they take out the damaged bones and they replace it with metal, oh, man, you know, metal, human bones and metal, to me, it don't match. That's not what God intended our bodies to be like.
I understand. Yeah.
But, you know, scientists and them, they want to think that they can reconstruct your whole entire body. But anyway, Mother, the more we talk, the longer it's going to be for you to eat something. So you go and eat something. I'm just going to close us out. I'm not even going to bother to play any music or anything. So you have a wonderful afternoon. Enjoy the rest
and
of
you
your
too.
Weekend. Love you.
All right. Love you too.
Okay, Mother. Have a good one.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.